Yes, Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Father, for being with us, leading us and guiding us tonight to do the things that you have us to do. Father God, I thank you for these times we're in. I praise you, Father, for drawing us close to you and getting rid of all of these distractions in our lives. Praise you, Father. I'll be glad when the internet goes down. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you and thank you for what's going to happen tonight. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time because you're going to lead us and guide us and help us out with quantum physics proves faith. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a blessing. Just an absolute blessing, because it's blessing me. I don't know about them, but I know it's blessing me. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Thank you for this open heaven that we have, Lord, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered because we are speaking faith and bold faith to believe you for any and everything that's needed to get the gospel out and to help us in our daily walk. Thank you, Father, for opening up the Word of God for us in a mighty and wonderful way, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I just ask and I pray that you protect Courtney and her family while they're away from us overseas. And we praise you, Father, for bringing them back home safe. And Lord, I thank you for giving them some kind of a revelation of your love for them. And I come against the enemy that may try to do something with them. That you don't, I pray the blood of Jesus over them. And I'll break the power of the enemy that's keeping Courtney from your doorstep, Lord. And I thank you that the enemy has been broken. And she's coming into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Lord, she used to be a solid girl of yours. And that you know the circumstances. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for bringing her back in Jesus' name. Because I believe you can do it and I know you can do it. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Because you have given us the promise of all of our household being saved. And she's going to be in it in Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, okay, I see your hand. I guess that's your idea. You weren't waving at me. You're just going ahead and raising your hand. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I want to pray about something that's kind of been on my mind.
Okay.
Last day or so. So, my boss pulled me to the side the other evening and was asking me, because some other department wanted us to help them do their work. And I looked at the boss. I said, if you tell me to do it, I will do it. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I will do it. But I really, especially with everything they're going to be adding on to us next year, I really don't want to be that burden to be part of what I do. So, Lord, I just thank you that it's in your hands, Lord. You know what I can handle, Lord. And Lord, if this is something for me, that I will do it and I will suffer for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for it. And, Lord, that you're a good God. You know that you can't give us anything more than we can handle. So if you do this, you will make a way for me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to add on to that, Lord, and I thank you that if it is out of tune, that it's going to be a breeze and he'll have more time alone, more time to do it than he did before. And I thank you for it, Father, because you are an awesome God. I remember the story of Linda. Y'all remember that story? Where they put those boxes on her to do. That she couldn't, nobody's ever done it before in an 8-hour period. And so she went and prayed and said, Lord, you're going to have to help me because I don't know what to do. And she said she sat down to that box of stuff that they had to do on the assembly line. And she said before noon, she had finished all of it. Made the supervisor mad because he didn't have nothing else for her to do. Nobody had ever done it in 8 hours. She did it in 4 hours. But she said she just sat back and watched herself do it. That's how God can do it. So praise God. I thank you, Lord, for doing that for Linda. And I thank you, Father, if it's need be on Matt, you'll do it with him too. Give him the wisdom and the discernment to do it as well. And the strength and the endurance. In Jesus' name. Amen. I can see Matt going like you. All over the place. Okay. Anybody else? Is that Megan? I believe that's Megan. Hi, Megan. Hey, Barbara. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Got a prayer request. What's up, girl? Jesus. Nobody else want to pray? Hey, Monroe. Let's see. I do want to pray for her. Lord, I just pray and I thank you for bringing down all the oppositions to Trump's picks in the cabinets. I don't care who it is. I thank you, Lord, for placing Max Gaetz in a position as senator from Florida so that he would help out in the Senate. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you would find someone that would be just as a bulldog determined to bring relief to the DOJ department to get all of the outlaws out of there. In Jesus' name, the anarchist communist outlaws. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that you are working with Trump and getting things lined up for him. I read today where, who was it? Dan Bongino. Thinking about making him the head of Secret Service. Yeah, that would be awesome. He used to be in the Secret Service, if y'all ever listened to him. He used to be a part of Secret Service. I think that'd be a great, great pick. Great pick. Then we'd know that Trump would be in safety. All right. Lord, thank you for doing it. If that's who you got picked for Secret Service, Lord, that's a good pick as far as I'm concerned. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put him in there if that's who you want. I praise you for it, Father. Boy, everybody's awful quiet tonight. It's going to be a fun night. Okay, well, I'm fixing to play something that's going to shake you up. Get you out your seats. Make you dance and holler for the Lord, glory to God.
Michael, are you going to play that little short first?
What little short? Oh, do I have it? I don't have it. If you've got it, go ahead.
If you watched it, it's in your history.
Oh, it'll be on my phone, though. It'll be on my phone, though.
Well, if it's in YouTube, let me get it.
Okay.
Can I play that real quick before you go to it?
Sure. Let me give you permission. Okay, you got it. You talking about the little boy? Yeah, that's an awesome one. While you're doing that, I'll be right back.
How he got the kidnapper to let him go.
He did it by singing, Megan. It really has become the song heard around the world, and police say it may very well have saved the life of 9-year-old Willie Myrick.
He, grabbed me and he drove me off to East Point. He told me he wouldn't hear a word from me, so I ain't say nothing.
Instead, he started singing a gospel song called Every Praise. Willie says the man cursed at him, telling him to shut up, but he kept singing for 3 hours until the man finally stopped the car and told him to get out. The boy ran to a nearby home, asked the homeowner to call his guardian.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
He was saying, shut up.
That's awesome. That kid knew what to do, didn't he? The Lord placed it in him and he sang it and drove the man nuts. Praise God. Okay, let's listen to it in real time.
One more time, every praise,
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. I sent somebody that YouTube on weather warfare they're trying to do up in your neck of the woods, Missy. Fixing to. Father God, we know that we have dominion over all things on this earth. You gave it to Adam, Jesus handed it on down to us. And we praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus right now. We command this weather warfare to cease right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for dissipating all of this weather warfare that they're trying to place up in the, I believe it's up in the northeast part of the United States. And, what does that mean? Yeah, okay. New York and Pennsylvania, okay, yeah. And Lord, we thank you for diminishing the effects of this weather warfare in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, it's not going to be anything but just a light sprinkling of snow. And we praise you for that, Father. There's not going to be any great, big, bad foot of snow anywhere. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Does anybody believe that with me? Because I believe it's done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Lord, we know that your angels are out there working to diminish this weather warfare that they're doing. Lord, we ask and we pray that you take their weapons away from them. In Jesus' name. We send the angels out there to shut them down. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's too much snow for all year as far as I'm concerned. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord of God. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I do want to say though, here in the northeast and mid-Atlantic area, it's been very dry and there's been some fires and everything because it's, I haven't had any rain, so the rain is welcome as long as it's not a deluge, you know.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Flooding or whatever. So I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for that, Lord.
So thank you, Lord, for sending the right amount. No more than the right amount to keep the fires down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Extinguish them and just continue to bring more rain, but no huge amount. Just rain that'll be good to sink in and not run off.
Is it rain or snow that's coming up there?
Both. It's both.
Okay. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. There you go.
I have a testimony I want to share.
Yeah.
I want to share. Can you hear me, everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for giving Michael a really strong bandwidth. Thank you, Lord, for the good connection, internet connection for Michael. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, yesterday, in the afternoon, there was a threat of fires in my area, which was actually really close to me. And I walked outside to take my garbage out and I looked over to the right, which is over here, which is west of me. And then I could just see smoke all over the skyline. I'm like, oh no. So I went to warfare and praying against it and commanded the angels to go and assist the first responders, the fire department, all Cal Fire and everyone who was over there and that the winds would shift and I can just command the angels to give them all resources and put that fire out. And then I said, I'm not going to get an alert on my phone about this fire, that they're threatening evacuations. I didn't know where it was, you know, but I knew it was close for that smoke to be that, like, as I was seeing it. So anyhow, it wasn't maybe 5 minutes. My phone alarm goes off. My phone goes off with the alarm that, you know, there's a fire and mandatory evacuations for this particular area. And I looked on the map and they had the evacuation location just down the road from me. So it's like, you know, they tell people to go to this parking lot. This location is a strip mall area. And they're telling people to get their, you know, animals out and all that stuff. And I just kept praying against it. I'm like, nope, they're putting fire out. Thank you, Lord. That fire's going out and they're not going to have to evacuate. And probably 30 minutes later, I went out to get my mail and I could still see smoke and everything and see helicopters flying over there and planes and stuff. And there's still sirens going up, you know, around down the street. And I just kept confessing, they've got that fire under control. Thank you, Lord. They've got it put out and ain't going to spread. It's not going to spread. And my neighbor lives across me. He was out there and he didn't know where it was. He goes, it looks like it's real close. And it's like, it's over that way. And I told him where it was. And I said, I got on the map of my phone, but he didn't look. So he looked on his phone. He saw it. But anyhow, but I said, they've got it put out. You know, that was, you know, over 30 minutes ago. They've already got it put out and stuff. And probably an hour later, I went to look on my phone app. I hadn't heard anything and I went to look on my phone and my app and stuff. They had lifted all evacuation notices and they had gotten the fire out. So I was like praising God that that was taken care of. And, but I tell you, when that stuff happens, you know, those things come on you, the fear and the anxiety, the stress. And, you know, there's just been so much fire, you know, and the dry, dry air and, everything around here is so dry and there's always that threat and people cursing that kind of stuff all the time. So I have to, you know, be just praying safety and protection here. And it's like, Lord, I'm not, you know, this isn't coming anywhere near me. You know, and just confessing the good report. So I just want to give thanks and praise unto God for he, you know, he is faithful. And, I just bless all the fire department and CAL FIRE and everyone who goes out there and fights these fires. Cause they've had a busy, busy last few years. You know, I've lived here for a long time. That probably within the last 5 years, there has been more fires ever than there has ever been. Maybe the last 5, 6 years, something like that. It's incredible. And, I know it's just, I know it's judgments and that kind of thing. And, but the Lord's also helped me overcome all kind of doubt and fear and worry about it. He's going to take care of me. He's going to protect me in it. So, and he has, and he's faithful. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for that you have already equipped every one of us to fight these battles. And I thank you, Father, that you're placing it in our hearts to pray and to believe when somebody else is praying too, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we would all, every one of us, be strong in these spiritual battles that we are in and to help our brothers and sisters as they pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I have like a testimony, a couple. Tuesday, we did leaves. Merle and I, blue leaves and red leaves. And we knew there was rain coming. We knew if we didn't get it done Tuesday, that chances are we wouldn't get it done for a while. And we had, it wasn't a huge amount, but we had a decent amount to do. And so I was just like, thank you, Lord, for holding off the rain, you know? And I saw the clouds coming in and I just kept saying, thanking the Lord for holding off the rain and keeping we're going to go through a trial with our leaf blower. It'll run for a while. One day it'll run the whole time. And then another day it'll want to cut off and then we can't get the darn thing started again. And so, but anyway, so it ran, well, it did cut off, but I knew it was going to cut off because it was going to run out of gas. And I'm like, and I was, so I was like, help me to hurry and get this gas in here so I can finish this. Well, it started sprinkling. It was like a real light rain and I was close to being done. So I was like, thank you, Lord. And it didn't really bother me that it was raining on me because I was going to get a shower later anyway, but. But it was just, we got it done. I was like, thank you, Lord. And then yesterday we had this It was nice during the first part of the day. It got up to 65 yesterday. And today the high was only like 39. Crazy. Anyway, but when this rain came through behind, you know, and all there were these really high winds, I was making dinner and I had the Bible study playing and I heard this sound. It sounded like a plane going over, and Merle said he thought it was too, you know, when I mentioned it to him. Then I looked out and then I saw it was just these, it was real windy, real, real windy. And they were calling for a tornado watch, Merle told me later then. And I'd say about a half hour from where we live, supposedly there was a tornado that touched down yesterday. But I was just like rebuking the wind. I said, no damage to our house, no high winds, blah, 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 blah. And it didn't, but it really sounded fierce. I mean, what I was hearing over the, because I had the Bible study real loud, I was cooking and stuff. But anyway, so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, it sounded horrible. So thank you, Lord, for watching over us, watching over all of us, Lord, and that Psalm 91 protection over us all, no matter what the situation is. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a good working leaf blower. We let the gas run out of it. I only filled it up just enough to finish it, and we let it run for like maybe 20 minutes, let it run out so it didn't have fuel in it over the winter. So thank you, Lord, that when we go to start it next time, it's going to work really well. No Amen. Problems. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Got a testimony? Anybody got a testimony? I survived getting out in the cold today. That's a good testimony. All right. Nobody got another prayer request? Let's see if we can figure out where I stopped. Was it G stands for gather? Is that where we stop? Or was it... I'm going to start on page 4. Neuroscience teaches us that we can alter our physical brains. Neuroscience teaches us that we can alter our physical brains through neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity refers to the brain's ability to change and rewire itself in response to experiences we have. It deals with the way the brain creates new neural connections and reorganizes existing ones in response to changes in our thinking, behavior, and circumstances. The idea of neuroplasticity challenges the traditional view of the brain as a fixed and unchanging structure. I remember that. Instead, it suggests that the brain has the ability to change and adapt throughout our lifetime. This happens through a process called synaptic pruning. It occurs when the brain eliminates unused or redundant neural connections and synaptic growth, while at the same time forming new neural connections in response to new experiences and learning. In other words, your brain, as you relearn stuff or you learn stuff and get it in your spirit and your brain, it rewires itself. It sends new wires all over your brain, new things. Every time a new thing that you learn, you can change. Listen to this. You can change how you think so that your outlook leads to a different outcome. I'm almost to G stands for gather. I'm the paragraph above it, second paragraph above it. The Bible calls it being transformed through the renewing of your mind. It's not a complicated matter. It only requires cooperation with the Spirit of Truth for you to see it happen in your own life. And to make the process easy to remember, let's use the acrostic GROW, G-R-O-W, GROW, to represent ways to change your outlook. Okay, the first basic step forward in changing how you think is to gather information that will motivate a change. Many people live at a level where their beliefs and behavior are shaped by their subconscious. They mindlessly live the same lifestyle every day, doing the same things and getting the same results without even thinking about it. The neural connections that have formed in their brains over time have trapped them in a rote routine that they never give any thought to. Nothing changes because they don't stop to consider the possibility of change. So the first step in changing your outlook so that your faith begins to empower your lifestyle is to stop, take a look at the lifestyle you're living now, and then determine to gather knowledge about how things can be different. Y'all get that? Take a look at the lifestyle you're living now and then determine to gather knowledge about how things can be different. Don't make this a rigorous regimen that requires you to rev up the religious RPMs so that God will help you. It's not complicated. God has already helped you by allowing you to understand how your brain works, why you are where you are, and how to change it. Think for a moment about how your brain works and how you came to the place where you are today. How many of you are different now than they were before you came to Christ? Yeah, all of us are. If you're not, you need to get saved. All right, your mental GPS. Now, imagine the neurons in your brain firing with every thought you have. And when they fire, electrical impulses shoot from one neuron to the other. Continuing to have the same or even similar thoughts causes more neurons to fire until the impulse connects them to each other through what science calls a synapse. Think of a synapse like a bridge that allows information to flow between neurons, which helps coordinate the functions of the nervous system. A common expression says that neurons that fire together, wire together. That's a pretty good one. I like that acronym. Neurons that fire together, wire together. As those synaptic connections continue to join neurons, the pattern forms a sort of internal GPS, directs your choices and actions. Ooh, man, that's awesome. You get enough of the word in you, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to start speaking like the word. Envision a mental map with pins all over it and highlighted routes drawn that show the connection between the various pins. These routes become the map that outlines your lifestyle. Most of the time we travel that route without even being consciously aware of it. Now, I've got this highlighted in my book. An important step, then, is to become aware of the way you're thinking and introduce new ideas to your brain that will disrupt the subconscious, hardwired, habitual way of thinking. New ideas activate new neurons, which can create new ways of thinking. And when you create a new mental map, you move toward a new lifestyle with different outcome. Is that not bringing down strongholds? That's bringing down strongholds. Exactly. Albert Einstein once said this, "The world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking." You need some new pins placed in your brain to change how you think, and that happens when we gain new information. An oft-repeated saying is, when we know better, we do better. And it's true. We come to know better as we increase our knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth alone doesn't set us free. It's when we know it. It's when we know it that results come. Amen. It's when you know it in your heart, right? Gathering new information that leads to change doesn't happen in one quick leap. Science studies have shown that there is a process that people move through when they experience lasting change. One study called the Trans-Theoretical Model explains how people progress through different stages when changing their lives. These stages take time. There are six of them. Consider these stages and see if you can identify where you are in the process of change. I'm at the end. I'm at 100-fold. Y'all at 100-fold? Glory to God, yes you are. All right, pre-contemplation. In this stage, a person is not yet considering making a change and is unaware of the issue or problem that they may need to address. Psychology calls it unconscious incompetence. Boy, I've seen so much of that. Golly. In the workplace, human resource departments sometimes call it skill or knowledge gap analysis. The healthcare world calls it clinical inertia. I mentioned these so you can see how pervasive this problem is across the board in society. The Bible calls it being blind or lost, and the problem is real. People don't know what they don't know. Maybe in order for your faith to grow, you need to understand that there are areas of life where you need to first gain knowledge before your faith can grow. Perhaps now would be a good time for you to ask the teacher who lives in you, Holy Spirit, to show you ways this dilemma might be true in your own life. Lord, show every one of us where we lack so that we can go in and study. Thank you, Father. Has anybody got any questions so far or any comments? Are you following along and understanding what he's telling us here? What he's showing us here is how to bring down these strongholds that we have in our thought processes to get us out of the rut that we've been in for so many years. Contemplation. Once we come to see that there is a gap between where we are and where we want to be, and we have taken the first step that will help us bridge that gap, it's time to look forward. Don't fall into the trap of wallowing in regrets about the past. Don't do that. You can't change that, but you can focus on the future your loving Father intends for you to go. Long ago, Socrates said, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Praise God, that's right. Socrates was a smart guy, wasn't he? The Apostle Paul would later say in Philippians 3 and 13, "Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before." Focusing on regrets about the past will only debilitate your ability to move forward. If you want faith to grow, aim your focus in the direction that will nurture growth. Neuroplasticity will happen in the most productive way when you do that, and you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can somebody explain to me what we just got through reading there? Yeah, Julie.
About the contemplation part?
About renewing your mind, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's just it's getting our focus where we want it to be on, like, the things that are positive, the things that are above, the things that are true and lovely and of good report, virtuous, all those things that Paul talks about, you know, and it's really just believing what God says, focusing on the promises and meditating on his word and that kind of thing, and don't listen to the lies of the enemy when he tries to bring up your past, your mistakes, your failures, or put discouragement on you, or all those, you know, ways he goes about doing that and bringing up your passes and try to condemn you so you can't have faith. All those tricks. So we're supposed to just put it all behind us, forget about it, and keep pressing forward.
Amen. Amen. Missy, did you want to say something?
Well, Julie kind of stole my thunder, but I was going to bring about, I was just going to say about condemnation, you know, like Julie said, and there's a quick thought that just came to me and then I lost it that quick too. you called on me and then I'm like, okay, I don't remember what it was now. If I remember it, then I'll holler.
Okay, well, let me do it in an application that might help everybody. Let's say last week you were diagnosed with cancer of the lungs. So, if I'm going to renew my mind by thinking that the doctor's going to heal me, but that God is really going to heal me, then what I'm going to do is go in the Word of God. Find all the healing scriptures, find the promises on healing, find all of those things and sit and study and meditate on those things and confess them and get them in my heart to where the point to where I believe that stronghold that the doctor's the only way is gone. And that I know without a shadow of doubt that God's going to heal me. And I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to stick with the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Rewire our old brain to speak like God wants us to speak and to have the faith that Jesus had. He never failed in his healing, did he? Never did. All right, anybody else? Did you have something else that you wanted to say? Who was it, Julie? I think you had.
Just what was coming to me is, you know, it's really just taking captive our thoughts, being discerning what thoughts are there and if they're legal or not, if they're true or not, and who they came from. And that's our warfare. You know, it's up here a lot, but that's where it begins anyway. You can get it there, you know, and don't give place to the enemy and do warfare against what he likes to use against us. And everybody has a past that the devil wants to bring up. He's a sore loser. He doesn't want to have to leave, but he has to leave. He's already.
Amen. Defeated. Let's say I wanted a new house, Teresa. What would I do? I'd go in there and find out what the Lord said about blessings, wouldn't I? You know, what does he say? And provisions. He's going to do it. Provides all our needs, doesn't he? Well, bless God, I've got a new house in. Glory to God, and I believe it, and I thank you for it, Father. And if somebody comes around, when are you going to get you a new house? It's already there. You hadn't seen it? It's right there. Glory to God. Big, fine home there.
Well, Michael, what I say is he knows what my need is. I'm his sheep. You know, he's my shepherd. He knows what my need is, and so he knows what I need.
Yeah, but you got to speak that house now. You got to speak it. You can't just say, well, yeah. Lord knows what I need. I need a new pair of socks. You might get you a new pair of socks to the house. But you got to, that's what I'm trying to say. You have
well,
to.
Well, what I'm saying is he knows I need suitable housing. So, you know, and he knows that I need that, you know, but if he has me at a certain spot for a certain time and it's not the best thing in the world, you know, that, you know, I'm supposed to work at something he wants me to work at in, you know, in this spot, then I'm willing to do that too.
Okay. Yeah. But you always remind him, Lord, I thank you for that house.
Thank you, Lord, for that house.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's cool. I believe it. I believe you're going to get one. I believe you're going to get one that's going to be suitable for you, and you're going to like it.
Okay. I receive that.
Amen. All right. Where in the world did I stop? Preparation. The most important preparation to take in anticipation of change is to cultivate an enthusiastic mindset. Glory to God. Ah, thank you, Lord, that the man child is fixing to get anointed and the tribulation fixing to start. We'll be that much closer to coming home. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. A sense of optimism and resilience comes from fanning the flame of enthusiasm about what lies ahead. This is the starting place for change. I'm going to read that over again. The most important preparation to take in anticipation of changing is to cultivate an enthusiastic mindset. Get fired up. That's what he's telling you to do. Get fired up for the things that God has shown you. A sense of optimism and resilience comes from fanning the flame of enthusiasms about what lies ahead. This is the starting place for change. Consider that word for a moment. The word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word enthusiasmos. Yeah, I got that one out. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Which is derived from the adjective enthusiastes, meaning possessed by a god or inspired. In ancient Greece, enthusiasm was considered a divine or supernatural state in which a person was believed to be possessed by a god or spirit. So they were inspired to perform great deeds or achieve extraordinary feats. You certainly have every reason to launch into action from a place of enthusiasm about the change to come, because Christ who created all things resides in you. And if Jesus resides in you, why, you shouldn't be afraid or have any lack of faith. God is in us. Glory to God. Oh my, let's see here. Hang on just a second. Okay. Let's pray for Jeff and Terry. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I lift up my brother Jeff. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in him. And I praise you, Lord, and I believe the first time that we prayed, you started working in his body. And I praise you, Father, even down to the cell level, that you are healing every cell in his body, even as we speak right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for healing his whole body and restoring everything that the enemy has stolen from him. And I thank you, Father, as you are healing and restoring everything in his body, he's going to grow stronger daily. He's going to get an appetite. He's going to start eating. Next thing you know, he'll be eating steaks off the grill. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. We speak life and health, divine health, upon Jeff. And we praise you, Father, for doing that for him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, because I know it's already being done. It's already being done. We prayed the prayer of faith, and we know it's done. Thank you, Lord, for healing Jeff. Thank you, Lord, for putting faith and no fear, No fear in this family. And I thank you, Father, that Terry has no fear. She just knows that she knows that she knows that Jeff is healed. And Jeff does too. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. And I praise you. Everybody believe that with me. Okay, well, I believe it. Glory to God, I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Lord, I lift up Terry also to you, and I thank you, Father, that she is standing by your side, believing that Jeff is already on the road to recovery. And I praise you, and I thank you, Lord. She is confessing it, and she is thanking and praising you, as is Jeff, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And as we are here, too, in Jesus' name. All right. Let's see. Action. Change happens when knowledge we have gained finds expression in what we do. We know, then we do. Read that again. Change happens. Listen. Change happens when knowledge we have gained finds expression in what we do. We know, then we do. Faith without works is dead, James says in 2:26. Grace is divine enablement to rise up and live the life we have been created to know and enjoy. Don't wait until every question has been answered and every step forward has been identified. Whoo, yeah, that's right. Don't question, just do. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Amen. God once told the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 30:21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, it happens one step at a time. One step at a time, sweet Jesus. Y'all remember that one? All right. Quantum science suggests that your life is connected to everything around you. Yep, I believe that. Y'all believe that? I mean, when you walk outside, you ain't never been where you've been outside, that everything around you is connected. Physicist Fritjof Capra, I got that one out. Boy, I believe that was right, too. Fritjof Capra wrote, the universe is not a collection of objects, but is an inseparable web of vibrating energy patterns in which no one component has reality independently from the entirety. Included in the entirety is the observer. Let me see if I can read that again. The universe is not a collection of objects, okay, but is an inseparable web of vibrating energy patterns on which no one component has really independently from the entirety. Included in the entirety is the observer. How many of you know that this mountain behind the house vibrates? Yep, it does. How many of you know the table, this desk that I'm sitting on, it even vibrates with energy? It's vibrating every time I open my mouth, bless God, because it ain't going to fall. Thank you, Lord. The Bible explains in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, for in him were all things created, in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible, and here come things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And in him all things consist, the Bible tells us. You are in him, and so are your surrounding circumstances. I don't know if y'all getting this, but I'm getting it. I praise God for this teaching. What you do affects the world around, so recognize the divine power in you and do something constructive to change your internal and external world. Whew, glory to God. Maintenance. Once you've started your new way of living, don't fall back. Remember that the synaptic paths need to be reinforced, and the more you reinforce them, the easier it becomes to live a more productive lifestyle. And this is the transformation that comes by the renewing of your mind. This is neuroplasticity. This is the way you were meant to live at a higher level. And it's time now to set your affection or your attention on things above, Colossians 3 and 2. And don't fall back into the old ways. One biblical proverb gives a glaring example at what it looks like when people fall back. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. When the scripture gives a gross warning like that, it's because we're intended to pay careful attention. Don't be that guy. Maintain your walk so that your change can lead to a greater faith. Glory to God. I hope y'all are getting this. I don't see a whole lot of action, but I don't need to. I just got to believe that y'all are getting it. Man, this is awesome stuff. Termination after maintenance. This is the level that those who understand the levels of competency call unconscious competence. It's the stage when a person has developed a skill or knowledge in a particular area to the point that it becomes automatic, and they can perform the task without conscious effort or thought. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit because it refers to a lifestyle animated by the Spirit of truth who dwells in you, glory to God. Don't think of the word termination as meaning an actual finish line, because we will forever grow in our journey in faith. You'll never stop learning faith. For our purposes, consider it reaching that place where we discover what Jesus meant when he said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the quantum life, the grace walk, or to use the Apostle Paul's words, life in Christ. Don't make the mistake of thinking I am reducing this spiritual work of spirit to a simple formula. Let's be clear, it is the divine life within you that will facilitate this change in you. But on the other hand, you'll be being obedient and cooperating in the process. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 says, we are laborers together with God. Anybody got any questions? Well, I'm glad everybody's getting it. Yeah, Julie.
Got to find it here where you said, or where it's written here about faith. I didn't find it. But it says that we will always, will be forever in faith. Where is that paragraph? Well, my thought is, are we going to still need faith when we're, you know, when we're in heaven? You know, because it's like forever, we'll be still using faith.
Are you froze up?
No, I'm trying to find it where you read that, and I can't find it now.
What was it again?
It says it will be forever, ever something faith, and I can't find that. What said that? Do a quick search. Here. Termination. It's under termination. Second paragraph. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit because it refers to a lifestyle animated by the Spirit of truth who indwells in you. Who indwells you. Don't think of the word termination as meaning an actual finish line. We will forever grow in our journey in faith. And I just thought, well, forever, you know, if faith is forever, if we're always going to be growing in our faith, how does that relate to, like, in our born-again experience where we're already, you know, we're in heaven? I mean, I guess God spoke everything in faith. Jesus spoke everything in faith. And we're speaking everything in faith. But, I mean, after the resurrection, you know, and we all go home. I guess, will heaven be like that, too, that our faith journey, we're still going to be creating and speaking faith and speaking things into existence. And
well, there's going to be things in heaven that we've never seen or experienced that we're going to have faith for. And, you know, and that's what we'll do. Even right now, there's things that are going on in the spiritual realm here on earth that we haven't experienced yet that God wants us to experience, and we have to have the faith to do it. And we do that by learning, and he'll teach us how to do that. The man-child ministry is going to help us in all of that.
Yeah.
I believe that we will forever grow in our journey in faith. I remember, was it Odin Hedrick? He said Paul's still preaching and still teaching in heaven. You know, you got people up that just came into the kingdom and died. You know, I can think
of the real full gospel. Yeah,
they're going to have to learn.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Yeah. Let's see. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is the quantum light, the grace walk, or to use the Apostle Paul's words, life in Christ. Don't make the mistake of thinking I am reducing this spiritual work of spirit to a simple formula. Let's be clear. It is the divine life within you that will facilitate this change in you. But on the other hand, you will be being obedient and cooperating in the process. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we are laborers together with God. Let me tell you something about obedience. I've been doing a little study on that, on obedience. Everybody in the Bible mentioned that he was obedient, or he did my commandments or whatever. Talking about obedience to the Lord, they were rewarded immensely. Every one of them. Abraham, Moses, all of those old prophets that obeyed God. I'll tell you one it didn't was Saul. Remember what happened to him? When the prophet told him, he said, just because he went into the temple and he wanted to he wouldn't wait on the prophet to come and do the things that he wanted to do. He went ahead and done them himself, and the prophet came in and told him, he said, "This, you ain't going to live long. David's going to take your place because you disobeyed God." Obedience is probably one of the things that we ought to be focusing our attention on, is obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to what the Word of God tells us. Read Matthew 5:6-7. Okay, we are laborers together with God. These stages aren't linear. And a person might go back and forth between stages as they move through the changes they want in life. this kind of growth requires commitment. It requires time and trust in the one who guides the process. What if there was a simple yet powerful tool that could help you create the life you want? How many of you know what that tool is? This tool is the practice of seeing what you want as a present moment reality, imagination. By envisioning your desires as already present in your life, you can tap into Christ's power to move into the reality he wants to give you. This practice is based on the principles of quantum mechanics, which suggests that reality is not fixed, but it's shaped by what we believe about life. Adopting a quantum perspective on reality can align your thoughts and beliefs with biblical teachings about faith. This practice, I'm going to say it again, this practice is based on the principles of quantum mechanics, which suggests that reality is not fixed, but shaped by what we believe about life. Adopting a quantum perspective on reality can align your thoughts and beliefs with biblical teaching about faith. When you see what you want as a present moment reality, you focus on what you want rather than what you don't want. And this helps shift your mindset. This helps shift your mindset from lack and limitation to an attitude of grace-filled possibility. And it also helps to elevate your faith so that you can realize in your experience all the blessings awaiting you. I'm going to read it again. I hope y'all don't mind me going over these things again. When you see what you want as a present moment reality, you focus on what you want rather than what you don't want. This helps shift your mindset from lack and limitations to an attitude of grace-filled possibility. And it also helps to elevate your faith so that you can realize in your experience all the blessings awaiting you. One key for moving to that place is to stop thinking about what's going to happen in the future and shift your focus to see that you already have been given everything you need for life, 2 Peter 1 and 3. You don't lack anything, but at this very moment, have it all. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead in human form, and that you are complete in him. It's important to denounce the idea that there is still something we need from God to give us a better future. What's he saying? He's saying we already got everything we need. All we need to do is walk in it and confess it. Inside the kingdom of God, there is no past, present, or future. There is only the eternal now. And you have all you need at this moment. Stop thinking about what will happen and see it as already done, or see it as real. God is not going to work in your life. The Spirit is already actively at work, guiding you into the awareness of what is already yours. And it's up to you to just get up and embrace it. Praise God forevermore, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, for it. And I thank you, Father, that I have a new house too, Lord of God. And I praise you, Father, that I got a new car too. And I got money in the bank too that I can help people out with. In Jesus' name. That's how he wants us to be. He wants us to be forward-looking rather than looking back. This is exactly how Jesus lived. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, he told his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing." Jesus said that not one thing was possible for him to do except those things which he saw his Father done. Not what his Father was going to do, but what he was doing in this present moment. And the problem for many who want to exercise faith is that the problem for many who want to exercise faith is that they see manifestation in their future instead of right now or the present moment. They say things like, I believe that God is going to answer this prayer. I am standing on the promises of God to do what he said. Or, I know it's going to happen. What is that? That's all future talk. That's not present talk. That type of sentiment is often applauded in the church's faith, but it's not the way to bring forth manifestation. We're going to have to get our mindset right. Prayers and hope built on that kind of faith always look to the future and not the present. Bless God, I'm healed. I can hear everything everybody says and I can understand it. Glory to God, and I praise you, and I thank you for it, God. Glory be to God. And this is the way it is with the kind of faith many people have. They believe that something is going to happen, but it never does, because their faith is pointed to the future instead of the present. It's important to begin to think about the present in a different way. Using your imagination is a helpful way to do that. Biblical faith is animated by a healthy imagination. Imagination allows people to visualize and create mental images of what they want so that they can see it as being already present. Don't misjudge or underestimate the power of healthy visualization. Faith is spirit-inspired imagining of an answer to what we have wanted and prayed for. I've heard too many people say, well, I'm healed, and I'm just sitting here waiting on the manifestation of it. That's not faith. That's not faith. Faith is, I thank you, Lord, I'm already healed. I praise you, Father, that every organ in my body is healed. I thank you, Lord, that my ears are healed. And I thank you, Lord, that my sinuses are healed. I thank you, Lord, that my truck is healed. I thank you, Lord, that, you know, I got a brand new house waiting on me. No, that's not the way you say it. You got to say, I thank you, Lord, that my house is already here. I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you that it's already with us in Jesus' name. That's what he's talking about. We have to put it in the present tense because it's already done. He's already taken care of it. Don't look to the future. You look to right now. This is the way it is with the kind of faith many people have. They believe that something is going to happen, but it never does because of their faith is pointed to the future instead of the present. It's important to begin to think about the present in a different way. Using imagination is a helpful way to do that. Biblical faith is animated by a healthy imagination. Imagination allows people to visualize and create mental images of what they want so that they can see it as being already present. Don't misjudge or underestimate the power of a healthy visualization. Faith is spirit-inspired imagining of an answer to what we have wanted or prayed for. When you use imagination as an expression of faith, you create a powerful force for manifestation and can bring your desires and beliefs into time and space. And it can become real in the transcendent mind before you see it in the temporal moment. This happens because the mind doesn't differentiate between real and imagined experiences. Watch a sad movie and you'll tear up. A scary movie will cause your body to produce adrenaline and cortisol. On the other hand, a romantic film can cause you to release happy hormones like endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine. I don't know what those are, but it must be good. All right, think in a productive way, and you'll get productive results. It's all about what you see. And after Lot and Abraham went their separate ways, God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15, I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. New Living Translation. And while it's true, he meant physical sight, there certainly is a metaphorical truth in that story. All right, I'm going to stop there. Does everybody understand what we're talking about? Or y'all just getting bored? Okay. Let me see. Let's see. I'm going to pick somebody out. Cheryl, you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good deal. How about you, Vanita? Uh-oh.
I'm trying to find the unmute button. Sorry. Yes, I'm getting it.
Okay, good deal. All right. How about you, Barbara? You getting it?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. What did I just say? No, I'm just kidding. No, you don't have to.
You said, Barbara, you getting it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. All right, let's go on here. God did a similar thing with another prophet. In that instant, it wasn't about physical sight at all, but metaphysical vision. Jeremiah 1:11 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Follow the story and you'll learn that what he saw was a prophetic insight into what would happen in Israel. Consider another prophet, Amos 7, verse 8, says this, the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line as a standard among my people Israel, showing the defectiveness of the nation, requiring judgment. There it is again, a plumb line is just something that shows you where true angle is, or true straight shot in. Plumb is plumb, straight. There it is again. What the prophet saw was a precursor to what was going to actually happen. Now search the phrase, what do you see in the Bible? And you'll discover that what a person sees is usually a prediction of what they experience. And it's important then to learn to see. Many people need to have their vision healed to see clearly, using spiritual sight instead of physical. If you don't see it with your eyes, then what are you going to do? What are you to do? How do you see it? Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He prayed for the eyes of their hearts to see. The eyes of your heart doesn't refer to a physical vision, but a spiritual vision consumed and carried by the Spirit who sees it all and shows you through your imagination. No, I don't have an unstable internet. I've got good stable internet in Jesus' name. Sanctified imagination is a way to see beyond the temporal and recognize what exists in the transcendent. It's not pretending or choosing to fake it till you make it. I like it, saying that. Don't be faking it until you make it. Imagination is a power you possess that can be used for good or evil. It can be constructive or destructive. The Bible says we are to take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. And I encourage you to yield your imagination to the Spirit of Truth and be led into a vision of what already is when authentic faith is exercised. Has anybody in here ever had visions before? Yeah. Okay. Is Jilly the only one? Missy? I'm beginning to believe y'all ain't listening.
Joe has visions all the time.
How come he didn't raise his hand? He's trying to run back to the computer. Okay. Science has proven the power. Okay, Joe. Science has proven. Oh, I'm beginning. I got to see somebody's face out there and make sure that they're looking and getting this, because it's, there's Ben. Is that Ben? Yeah, that's Ben. Look, there's Vanita too. Glory to God. Sure. Well, Angelica was in here for a little bit. I guess she's done left out. There's Joe. Smoking Joe. All right. Glory to God. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go on here. Science has proven the power of imagination. And one of the most widely known examples is the placebo effect. The placebo effect demonstrates the power of imagination in influencing physiological responses. When patients believe they are receiving treatment, even if it is only a placebo, their imagination can cause real, measurable physiological changes. How many of you know that doctors use placebo drugs sometimes? Yeah. Placebo means play-like. Okay. Another example is mental rehearsal. This type of experiment shows how visualization can affect physical performance. Athletes and performers have been shown to improve their abilities by mentally rehearsing their actions beforehand. See, the point scored at this very moment, and every part of your body will respond to that reality. See the point scored at this very moment, and every part of your body will respond to that reality. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. Whew. A great tool you possess to activate faith that sees result is an imagination captured and carried by the Spirit. Okay, we've gone over a lot, and I hadn't heard a question yet. I hope y'all are getting this. Okay, all right. We're going to see some great faith then, aren't we? Praise God. That's awesome. This is different than it was last time we had this. There was a lot of questions and a lot of comments and stuff. Okay. A healthy imagination is powerful. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of its benefit by some false teaching you may have had about the spiritual dangers inherent in the imagination. Just like your physical body, you can use it for good or evil. Begin now to use it as a tool for embracing present moment blessings in your life. And remember, you aren't the greyhound chasing the hare. What? That is always out in front. You are seeing the reality you want as a present moment experience. Quantum physics comes forward to say that everything is made up of atoms, which are made of particles called quanta. The substance of those quanta is not matter, but rather can best be described as energy vibrating at a certain frequency. This is good here. Described as energy vibrating at a certain frequency, which tends to come into existence by gathering with other quanta vibrating at the same frequency. The fact that at a subatomic level, the particles that form everything are not standing still but are vibrating translates as everything is energy in motion. Everything. The rocks in this mountain out here are vibrating. Our thoughts are no different. They too are vibrating energy. And whatever thoughts we choose, they vibrate at a particular frequency that is drawn to elements, including other thoughts, that vibrate at the same frequency. Although some have disputed its accuracy, Albert Einstein is reputed to have said, everything is energy. And that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. Einstein spoke about the relationship between matter and energy. He said, it followed from the special theory of relativity that mass and energy are both, but different manifestations of the same thing. Now, I know you did get this in church, and it may be unfamiliar to you, but don't dismiss this as New Age guru talk. It's science, and it explains how the kingdom of God works. And when you understand how the kingdom of God works through quantum physics, you know that you can, I can already see in my mind the atoms going to work as you pronounce a prayer and confess the thing is happening. I can already see it just going out there and doing this work. Einstein said that mass and energy are the same thing. Encyclopedia Britannica explains it. E equals mc squared is an equation in German-born physicist Albert Einstein's theory of special relativity that expresses that mass and energy are the same physical entity and can be changed into each other. Isaac Newton taught us that bodies with mass attract each other, called the law of universal gravitation. Einstein taught us that mass and energy are equivalent through his famous formula, E equals mc squared. So energy and matter are the same. Therefore, energy in the form of our thoughts attracts matter. Do you see the simple logic of this? It is a syllogism. Okay. If A is true and B is true, then C must be true. It's simple logic. A, mass attracts mass. B, mass is energy. And C, energy attracts mass. Consequently, such internal thoughts are energy. They attract experiences in the material world. And the way to interface with limitless possibilities, which science calls potential, and access to power of this creating principle is to focus your thoughts on the state of being surrounded by the conditions you want to produce. Set your mind and broadcast a higher vibration by thinking the right thing. See the blessings you await as a finished work. Praise God. I thank you, Lord, that my hair is not turning gray. It's going back to being dishwater blonde. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Anybody got any questions? Anybody want to explain to me what I just said? Okay. To rest in that field of things above is what some call abiding in Christ. In that environment of pure love, all things can happen. It's time to embrace the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Or the Bible says, all things are possible to him that believes. And with God, all things are possible. Amen. Every possibility exists in waveform, in potential, inside the kingdom of God, where divine agape is the ultimate and perfect quantum life. If you want your faith to soar, focus on how much you are loved by God and watch your emotions be lifted to align with His heart towards you. And when that happens, you'll be ready to see mountains move out and miracles move in. What does it mean to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Does the prayer suggest that the kingdom of God needs to relocate from the celestial realm to an earthly one? Not at all. The prayer isn't about presence, but perception. Ooh, glory to God. One time when the Pharisees asked Jesus when his kingdom would come, he gave an answer nobody expected. He said in Luke 17 and 21, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here or there,' for lo, the kingdom of God is within you." We carry the kingdom of God everywhere we go. We're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Their question was rooted in an underlying sense of nationalism that only understood physical kingdoms built around political parties and powerful people who rule over others who submit. They wanted a map of things to come, but Jesus told them that what they were looking for was already here. They just couldn't see it. The kingdom of God isn't out there, but it's already among us. You know, when we understand that part of it, it's going to make it a lot easier. Understand that the kingdom of God goes wherever you go. Jesus goes wherever you go. Holy Spirit goes wherever you go. And the Lord hears you every time you open up your mouth. Yep. Okay. This next part, listen to what he said. I think we had some interaction on this the other night. Many in the evangelical world today have the same problem as those did two millennia ago. They want to know a timeline for when Jesus Christ plans to set up his kingdom. And like the Pharisees, they can only anticipate a future time. They imagine him coming back, taking over, and setting up a kingdom on the earth that is absent at this point in time. In their minds, we have little chance for things to get any better until Christ returns and takes over by force. Remember the greyhounds who chased the mechanical rabbit around the racetrack, but can never catch it. That's the kind of approach many take to the kingdom of God. They're chasing after something they think is out there, ahead of us, but in reality it's already here among us, and in fact within us. And while Christ is indeed coming again in their obsession with future things, many people miss the point that he's right here, right now. And whatever your views may be about end time prophecy, it's important to acknowledge that Christ is here, and according to him, the kingdom of God is already here too. And we will not be able to see the kingdom of God manifesting among us as long as we believe it's only a future event. Amen. We carry the kingdom of God around with us. This kingdom Jesus described isn't one like anything we've known so far. The kind of kingdom he described is characterized by compassion, mercy, and forgiveness. It is a kingdom open to anyone and everyone willing to enter by faith. It's a life of service toward others and one of humility and selfishness. I'm sorry, selflessness. Yeah. The kingdom of God coming on earth is nothing less than our eyes being opened to the reality that already exists among us. God's kingdom won't be manufactured in this world, but will be manifested. Remember that faith doesn't create, but it facilitates what's already present. Faith simply brings outcome from the invisible to the visible. The kingdom of God will become visible to us all, but not because the king and his kingdom are already here. Thy kingdom come isn't to be tied to our calendar, but to our consciousness. While his kingdom is already among us, most aren't conscious of it because it isn't the kind of kingdom we've been taught to recognize. Many are waiting for something to happen when in reality it's finished. The king we await is already here, and his kingdom exists among us as surely as it exists beyond us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom simultaneously exists on earth and in heaven. Jesus told his disciples that they weren't able to recognize the kingdom of God among them, because they were looking for it in the wrong places. Okay. Wrong places. I must have had my hand on it. Yeah, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to say about that. I think the thing that really helped me understand that better about the kingdom of God being here already, a couple of things, just like the spirit of patriotism. When I realized that that was a spirit, and that, you know, we're not patriotic to any country because the kingdom is everywhere and we have family in the kingdom everywhere around the world. So that really opened my eyes to the fact that it's here already all around us, not just in our country that we're patriotic to. And then, of course, as the election goes on, you know, as the election comes up every 4 years, I'm like, we're not of this world. You know, it just really strikes me again more than for some reason that, you know, this isn't our world. This isn't what we're a part of. We have a kingdom, you know, it just reminds me of all that again. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Some people speak of extending the kingdom of God, but that terminology can be misleading. While it recognizes the presence of God's kingdom among us, it fails to acknowledge its omnipresence. The manifestation of the kingdom of God will come through a spiritual awakening to its pervasive presence. As that happens in our lives, we will find ourselves proclaiming the same message Jesus did. Change your mind about what you've expected. The kingdom of God is right here. Julie, is Jesus in you? That's not a trick question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
What? How can he be in you out there in California and be in me right here?
Because we've all been, you have been born again. You have the spirit of Christ in you. Just as I've been born again, I have the spirit of Christ in me. He's Emmanuel.
I remember what Odin Hedrick said one time. I like that guy. He said, you can have a barbecue at your house in heaven, and Jesus will be there, but he'll also be over here at Tom Jones's house, or he'll be over here at Benjamin's house at the same time. Jesus was at my dinner last night. Well, he was at mine too. Because Jesus can go anywhere he wants to.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works, but praise God it does. Because that way he gets to listen to all of us, doesn't he?
Well, no, when we're there. we'll be the same, won't we? You know, as he is, so are we in this world, you know.
As one, yeah.
And we're one with him.
Praise God. Yeah, Benita, go ahead.
No, it just reminds me of what David said about, you know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's the omnipresent part of God is the Holy Spirit, because he's all over. He can be everywhere. And that's, reminds me of that. That's how he's everywhere.
Well, if remember what he said? He said, if you could open your eyes at 100% in the Spirit, you wouldn't see nothing but the Holy Spirit. You remember him saying that? You wouldn't see nothing but the Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Praise God, he is too, because he listens to us, and he guides us and leads us and teaches us. Okay, let's go on here. Some people speak of extending the kingdom of God, but that terminology can be misleading. While it recognizes the presence of God's kingdom among us, it fails to acknowledge its omnipresence. The manifestation of the kingdom of God will come through a spiritual awakening to its pervasive presence. As that happens in our lives, we will find ourselves proclaiming the same message Jesus did. Change your mind about what you expected. The kingdom of God is right here. Oh, glory to God. Is my volume still okay? Okay, good deal. Wave-particle duality is a fundamental concept in quantum mechanics that describes how particles can exhibit both wave-like and particle-like behavior. Is it a wave or is it a particle? Until it is observed, the answer is yes, it's both. It makes no sense even to the scientists. How can something exist in two ways and places at the same time? It's baffling. Matters of spirit usually are. Richard Feynman, one of the most renowned physicists of the 20th century. Oh yeah, I remember him. I never heard of him. One of the most renowned physicists of the 20th century once said, I think I can safely say that no one understands quantum mechanics. Do not keep saying to yourself, if you can possibly avoid it. But how can it be like that? Because you'll get down the drain into a blind alley from which no one has yet escaped. No one knows how it can be like that. Is the kingdom of God in heaven or on earth? The answer is mind-boggling. But the answer is yes. My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus in John 18:36. Then he turned right around and said, the kingdom of God is among you, Luke 17:21. Wait, which is it? Is God's kingdom not of this world, or is it among us in this world? The answer is both. All the possibilities for your life exist inside the kingdom of God and are available to those who see. It is when we see through the eyes of faith that these possibilities manifest in our lives in definitive ways. The kingdom, the king, and his gifts are fully accessible right now. It's simply a question of perception, a vision of the eternal reality that envelops your earthly experience. Changes everything. Glory to God. Wave-particle duality suggests that the nature of reality is not set, but is malleable. Heaven on earth is available to you as you walk in faith. Your life will change when your temporal perspective aligns with the eternal truth of the kingdom of kindness, ruled by the King of Kings, whose desire is to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. is the experience you are intended to know and can know as your faith rises and resonates with the reality that surrounds you. During this trial, Jesus was speaking to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate asked Jesus if he was the king of Jews, and Jesus responded by saying, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews, but now my kingdom is from another place." John 18:36. Jesus clarified to Pilate that his kingdom is not a physical political kingdom like the Roman Empire, but a spiritual one that transcends the physical world. It is a kingdom not limited by geographical boundaries or political structures. And if you don't want to wait until you die to experience the reality of living inside the kingdom of God, then recognize that you're already there. At this very moment, you are already seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2 and 6, and possess everything you need to live at the highest level, so you don't have to die first. British theologian and scholar N.T. Wright said, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of getting people to heaven, but of getting heaven to people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is a prayer for manifestation. And by aligning yourself with the culture of that kingdom of Christ, you can tap into infinite potential and know heaven on earth. Jesus said, "God has blessed you because your eyes can see and your ears can hear." Praise God for that. Matthew 13:16. So open your eyes now and see. That's where you are in your journey at this point. Wave-particle duality is the scientific expression of how energy can simultaneously be an all-encompassing wave and a specific particle. So it is with the kingdom of God, which is at the same time everywhere and right here with you in your particular circumstances. Quantum entanglement refers to the phenomenon in which two or more particles are connected in a way that the state of one particle can't be described independently of the other particle, even if the particles are separated by a large distance. That means that if the state of one particle is changed, the same thing will instantaneously happen to the other. In terms of being simultaneously in two places, quantum entanglement suggests that particles can exist in multiple states or locations at the same time. A concept we identified earlier in this book as superposition. The idea of a particle being in two places at once is a result of wave-particle duality. How many of you think that you can be in two places at one time? How many of you think that you can be in three places at one time? Of course. Of course you can. I'm getting tired of reading. All right, has anybody got any questions or anything they'd like to just say? I'm going to mark it for next time because I'm tired. Thank you, Lord.
Where'd you mark it at, Michael?
Huh?
Where did you mark it?
Waveform and particle form are both present.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to go through and ask people a question. What did I just get through saying here the last 2 hours? In short form. Yeah, Teresa.
That we can shape our reality just by that we're connected. We're not separate from everything around us. We're connected with everything around us. And what's in us affects everything around us. And that what we put into our heart, like if we put the word of God into our heart and believe it, receive it, and do the works associated with it, then it affects everything around it.
Amen.
I've got kind of an example of that. And, examples of that are just like forever. But one example of that I saw, which surprised me, was, on my mountain in Bonner's Ferry, I had befriended that flock of wild turkeys. Well, I would, it started with one, then it was two, it just grew until it was about 22 of them. And so, they would call for me every morning and it was me that they wanted. And so, they were afraid of everybody else. And so, and I would feed them, and pretty soon I started getting them poultry blocks. And I had a fence around my property because I had German shepherds, and I had to keep them from chasing the neighbors' cars. So down the road. So I had a fence around my place. So the turkey stayed outside the fence. And so I would just, put the poultry block outside the fence, but it was real close to the cabin. And, so they ate one of the poultry blocks into a heart, a literal three-dimensional heart. And it's just an example of the love that was operating. And I'm not sure if it was the area in general or if it was between me and the turkeys, because they appreciated the fact that I was trying to help them. And it did help him too. It helped him to survive the winter there and, to mate and have babies. They would go off into the forest and then come back in the fall. But it was just an example of the love that was operating there. They ate it into I have a picture of it. Honest to God, three-dimensional heart. And it was just standing there. And I took a picture of it. That's an example of, God's love, going out into, what's around you.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Either that's that or it was God's, that was getting into me. It was something.
Well, did you have aspirations of the turkeys coming and you'd be feeding them? Or imagination?
No, I never... that never entered my mind ever. It just happened.
Did when you threw the corn or whatever you put out there, did you put it out there for the turkeys?
The other people that I knew, the only use turkeys had for them, having turkey dinner. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted, when that first female turkey started hanging around, I started talking to her. She seemed lonely and she was by herself. And so I would talk to her and just, be nice to her. Eventually I started feeding her and then she brought her friends. And so, I got to see, the females stayed in a clan and the males stayed in a clan. And then, when it was mating time, then the males would, come and chase the females. And then they would go off and have their baby. And then come back in the fall. And so, And then, you know, the flock was able to grow. And so it was just so cool. No, I never had any aspirations of anything.
God just
like
blessed
that.
You.
It never entered my mind.
God just blessed you, huh?
Yeah, God, well.
Praise God.
Well, the whole thing, yeah, the whole thing was just a blessing. Yeah.
Awesome.
I think, but it seemed to me that God's spirit of love was already operating in the area.
Amen. I'd be like him other guys, though, Teresa. I'd be looking for the turkey on the table. That's... We got turkeys around here.
I can give another example.
Well, we're about out of time here.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you.
But I do have another example. So you got to remember, I had at the time a giant German Shepherd and then my littler German Shepherd. Sarah, Ra'am, and Nini. And, you know, along the Kootenai River in Bonner's Ferry is just right along the Kootenai River. And, and there was a little, it was kind of like a park-like area where the dock was. And, you know, on the opposite side of the road. And I would take the German Shepherds in there to go walking. Well, one day, These was it five chickens or was it six? I think it was five chickens. They came out of the trees and they came up to us. I have, you know, and I had German Shepherds. These chickens came up to us. And so I started talking, you know, the shepherds, you know, of course they're going to bark at them. And I started talking to them and, I was just so glad to see them. And, you know, and then every time, you know, and then, you know, we'd do our walk and then we'd, you know, we would leave. But every time I came back, the chickens would come out and they would, you know, they would just be around us. And so again, it was, and I would talk to them and, it's just that love, you know, somehow they sensed that I think somehow they sensed that, you know, I just automatically loved them. And, because I did, when they came out, I just talked to them and loved them. And, you know, and they befriended us. So anyway, and I think I know it's a different way of illustrating it, but it illustrates how what's in you, you know, goes into everything outside of you.
Amen. Well, okay. We're out of time. Has anybody got a prayer request before we leave? Father God, I ask and I pray right now that you place this teaching in our hearts to understand that it's an easy way to understand what faith is all about. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to seek you daily. And that good time alone with you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody's going to get a good night's sleep or fixing to get up and have a good day of work. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay.